Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1.
The Thinking Atheist. It's not a person. It's a symbol. An idea.
The population of atheists in this country is going through the roof.
Rejecting faith. Pursuing knowledge. Challenging the sacred.
If I tell the truth, it's because I tell the truth. Not because I put my hand on a book and made a wish.
And working together for a more rational world.
Take the risk of thinking for yourself. Much more happiness, truth, beauty, and wisdom will come to you that way.
Assume nothing. Question everything. And start thinking. This is the Thinking Atheist Podcast, hosted by Seth Andrews.
Big news, exciting news. The Great Courses Plus is now Wondrium. Wondrium is everything we already know and love about the Great Courses Plus and a whole lot more. Wondrium provides fantastic video and audio learning experiences, including all your favorites from the Great Courses Plus, videos from National Geographic, the Smithsonian, history. But now you can get Wondrium originals and collections from the Kino Lorber films and videos, Magellan TV, Craftsy, award-winning documentaries like Breaking Their Silence. It is so cool to see this evolution of the site and the library taking information, education, discovery, and entertainment to the next level. The whole format, it's just intuitive, it's fun, and I cannot wait for you to experience Wondrium. Prepare to have your mind blown. Sign up now through my special URL to get this great offer, a 14-day trial of unlimited access. Go now to Wondrium.com/Seth. That's Wondrium.com/Seth. Wondrium.com/Seth. A heavy but important conversation today as we talk about actor-comedian Danny Masterson and the Church of Scientology. The headlines have been all over the place, especially in the last few months. Allegations of rape, 4 specific charges of rape against Danny Masterson. This story has been followed closely by 2 people whose work I really do admire. They've both been on the show previously, Chris Shelton, ex-Scientologist and host of the Sensibly Speaking podcast, and investigative reporter Tony Ortega of Underground Bunker. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
We talk about Scientology. I go back and forth on it. It's not like there are millions of followers. As I understand it, there's not like there's even hundreds of thousands of followers. But it remains a force for, I think, extreme ill in our culture, does a tremendous amount of harm. I don't know, maybe I'll start there. Like, why Scientology? I know what you're going to say, Chris, because you came out of it, but give me the Cliff's Notes version real fast.
Absolutely. Real fast, my summary of Scientology is that it is a money-making scam that does, like you said, use religious cloaking to hide its true intent and hide behind the First Amendment. And it gets that so that it can have that as a justification and rationale for liberally, financially, physically, and emotionally abusing its members.
Tony Ortega?
Well, I'm a journalist who gave himself the job of beat reporter to cover Scientology on a daily basis, which I do at my website, TonyOrtega.org, the Underground Bunker. Unlike Chris, I was never in Scientology, but I find it fascinating. And I love to talk to people like Chris that came out of it and that can tell us about what happens inside. And like you, Seth, I'm just fascinated by how much impact this rather small organization has. You're right. It is
How many much members, smaller than, Tony? I mean, what are we talking about?
The active membership today is probably less than 20,000. You could put the entire active membership of Scientology inside of something like Madison Square Garden. But it's got, you know, these wealthy members who donate millions and millions of dollars. It's got these celebrities. And I think it's the combination of that and its secretive nature and its bizarre beliefs combined to make something that people, the public, is still endlessly fascinated about. So for that reason, it probably gets more press and attention than it deserves. But it does deserve attention because it's so harmful to the people that are in it, the people have left it, and other people.
Well, before I get into the Danny Masterson case, which is what we're really talking about today, I got to tell you, I have a fantasy. Like, Tom Cruise is one of the most talented actors in Hollywood, and he's in some of my favorite films. Love the Mission Impossible movies. Edge of Tomorrow is one of my favorite movies, right? But I have this fantasy that he's on live TV, and he's doing a presser somewhere, and somebody like me or you is sitting on the couch and just looks at him and says, how can you possibly defend, how can you be the poster boy for a high-control cult like Scientology? I mean, just literally challenge him on live television and have it out. And that does not happen. I'm not aware of any time that somebody has, you know, I think Matt Lauer and him had a sort of a tete-a-tete about psychology or psychiatry or, you know, depression, that kind of stuff. But are you aware, has anyone ever just totally called the guy out? You know, has he ever had to defend it on the spot?
No, he has not. And of course, that has to do with the stage management that goes on with celebrities. He will not allow anyone to question him on it. And if you listen closely, by the way, to the turtleneck video, the award video where he was given the Freedom Medal of Valor back in 2004, he says in the video, he's bragging to other Scientologists about how he won't let any of that in his vicinity. He won't let anybody come in who's, you know, out ethics, as he calls it. Scientology phraseology there for somebody who doesn't like Scientology. You have moral problems if you don't like Scientology is the assumption there. So he won't let anybody ask him about it. And his agents and his press people run a serious control on that.
I just fantasize about it. I don't know. Tony's done some writing about it. I mean, you called out a lot of the Tom Cruise stuff here earlier this year, right?
I have, and I often get that question, isn't he just being like blackmailed to stay in and he'd really like to leave? And Chris and I both do the same. We try to convince people he's a true believer. I think one way to think about it is, you know, the movie The Matrix, which is very popular with Scientologists. Imagine at the end of the movie, somebody coming to Neo and saying, you know, you're wrong about this idea where there's this actual grim world that the rest of us aren't seeing. You know, you're wrong about that. You know, put yourself in Neo's place. What are you going to say? I mean, of course, this person telling you that is wrong. That's how Tom Cruise feels. Whenever you come to him and say, how can you believe this ridiculous thing, this L. Ron Hubbard is all this crazy stuff, he's looking at you like, how can you not believe it? How can you be so ignorant not to accept that Scientology is the only salvation for this planet? So that's what I try to turn it around on people, that Cruise thinks you're the crazy one.
That is so true. And having been in that mindset all the way, I can absolutely attest to what Tony just said. It's totally, he nailed it.
Let's get to the heart of the conversation today. A very serious discussion about Daniel Masterson, American actor, comedian. He played in That 70s Show from 1998 to 2006. He's been in, I guess, a series of TV shows and films. And he was arrested in June of last year and charged in connection with 3 rape allegations. Can someone give me some more details? I need someone to sort of flesh this story out, whoever wants
sure.
to take it.
Yeah. So I first broke this story in 2017 that the LAPD was investigating him on these rape allegations. And it took quite a while for the Los Angeles District Attorney to get around to charging him. But you're right. They charged him last June with 3 counts of forcible rape. So Danny is accused. Now, he's a lifelong Scientologist. He's from a multiple generation family of Scientologists. The 3 women he's accused of raping were all Scientologists at the time. And these incidents happened between 2001 and 2003. One of the women who was raped in 2003, did come forward to the police in a timely way. It was a year later, after the church had tried to convince her not to come forward. She did go to the LAPD in 2004. The LAPD had an investigation and then shut it down, largely because of Scientology's influence. It wasn't until 2016 that these 3 women became aware of each other. They had all thought that they were the only victim of Danny Masterson, and it wasn't until 2016 they found out about each other. Then together, they went to the LAPD in 2016. A new investigation was opened up. That's what this case is about, is this new investigation of these older incidents. And we recently had what's called the preliminary hearing. And that was last month in Los Angeles, 4 days where these women got to testify live in court for the first time ever. And it was dramatic. It was brutal. I was there for all 4 days in the front row. And Danny Masson had to sit there and listen to these women talking about these horrific incidents that they related. And they were all very similar, which is kind of creepy. They all involve a suggestion of drugging and forcible violent rape. And at the end of those 4 days, the judge found that there was enough evidence to hold a trial. And so that trial has tentatively been scheduled for November. I have reason to believe that it may get pushed back to January. We'll see. Don't know yet. That trial should be weeks long. And one of the things that surprised me the most about the preliminary hearing is how much Scientology was a part of it. This judge allowed questions about Scientology. It's very bad for the church what's going on. If Danny is convicted, he's being charged under California, a very harsh California law, the one strike sexual assault law. If he's found guilty of two or more of these rapes, he's facing 45 years to life in prison.
Interesting that the judge was not afraid to sort of address it, to question it, to challenge it, to marry. Well, they were already married, right? The whole rape case, the shielding of the case by the Church of Scientology. Would that be accurate? I mean, the Church of Scientology has been serving as a shield for Masterson for a long time. Would that be accurate?
Well, that's the allegation in the case, is that these women felt terrified about coming forward because Masterson was a celebrity. He was protected. Let me just give you one example. I'm sure Chris has some others. Jane Doe, number one, the two of these women do not want to be identified. Jane Doe, number one, she's the one that actually came forward in 2004. She first came forward to the church, okay? She, as a good Scientologist, right after the incident happened, she went to the church. She went to what's called her master at arms, her ethics officer, to say, listen, this terrible thing happened with Danny Masterson. The church reacted by putting her through counseling for several months, which cost her about $15,000, in order to go through her past lives to see what evil things she had done thousands or millions of years ago that would make her a victim today. In other words, and the other women testified in similar ways, that all of them were made to feel like it was their fault that this had happened, and they had what's called pulled it in Scientology. Chris can explain that better. But definitely in each case, these women were made to feel that they were the problem. And the judge understood that this, understanding that Scientology mindset, helps explain why this case has taken so long to come to court. And so she allowed testimony about that. She admonished them, listen, I'm not going to get deeply into Scientology beliefs here, but we do, it is proper to examine Scientology's ideas about police, about crime, about reporting other Scientologists, because that helps explain why these women took so long to come forward.
Chris Shelton, did you want to jump in?
Absolutely. I'd like to comment on the fact that it's actually written policy on the part of the Church of Scientology that you are forbidden. It is labeled a high crime to pursue outside legal enforcement of law, you know, go to the law enforcement, without first getting full authorization and okay through the very high officials in the church. So these women were really double-binded because they were stuck, you know, the rock in a hard place. They were stuck with these policies. And the church's policies are not to be questioned. They are not to be messed around with. And the people who enforce them take them very seriously. So this business of this confession culture that they enforce, where they make you admit to your crimes because that's the reason you're making these, what they considered, you know, false accusations at the time, was it's just further traumatizing these women. The very dogma and policy of the church makes it that they are further traumatized, and I think that's pretty gross.
As they do these auditing sessions, essentially they have the dirty laundry, right? You're totally, well, apparently totally transparent. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you pay for these sessions to the tune of thousands of dollars, and they bring in this useless e-meter. But more important to me, more interesting to me, is all the data, all the stuff that they are collecting about you and your personal life that then goes into some sort of a, I don't know, a record of your life. And I wonder if these women had submitted themselves and had gone through quote-unquote counseling and had bared their souls, so to speak, does that mean that there are files of, I don't know, especially for those who don't want to be exposed, who don't want their names used? I mean, does the church then use that as leverage? I don't know. Is that a founded concern?
Definitely, Seth. And that's part of the case, actually, mm-hmm. is that Jane Doe number one again, when the LAPD closed her initial case, the church and Danny Masten's attorney came to her. And to make sure she would keep her mouth shut, they had her sign an NDA. They did give her some money, but she testified that she knew she had to sign that agreement or be expelled from the church. So they hold over these policies over these people. Your whole life would be destroyed. Your family would be ripped apart unless you signed this, accept that money, and be quiet. So that was one way that was the church's policy was used to kind of quiet this victim. But the other thing you hit on, and that is, you know, Scientology is such a bureaucratic thing. I mean, it's basically a business fetish is what it is. And they record everything. And in this case, that might come back to bite them, because when Jane Doe number one went through all this and she reported to the church, they not only hauled her in for interrogations, they hauled in Danny Masterson. And now, during the preliminary hearing, it was just live testimony from these three women. But when we get to the trial, I think there are going to be some documents that are going to be introduced that the Church of Scientology was involved in that are going to be really problematic for Danny and the defense.
I got to wonder, though, I mean, are they going to pull a Richard Nixon, you know, the 18-minute silence on the tapes? Like, you know, if they're stewards of the material and the material is summoned by the court or subpoenaed by the court, I mean, are they just going to, quote unquote, lose it?
Well, let me say one thing on that, just from, you know, because the fetish Tony refers to here is he's speaking very lightly. We went through forests of paper every year with the amount of files and records that Scientology keeps. And there are cross-indexing of this and that and the other thing. It would be, I was conjecturing on a podcast a few weeks ago about this exact thing and how if you start vetting out certain pieces of information, because you cannot get away with telling the court you have nothing. There's no way that that's going to hold water with Scientology's record keeping. So they're going to have to present something. And if it's got a bunch of, you know, stuff taken out, there are ways that you can cross-check that. And with their files and their filing systems. So I only throw that out there as a sort of hope, because the church very much is into destroying evidence. Marty Rathbun already admitted he did exactly that with the Lisa McPherson case back in the late 90s.
Now, wait a minute. For the listeners, who is Marty in relation to what happened?
Okay, Marty Rathbun's a separate case, but he was the second in command of basically all of Scientology. He worked right under David Miscavige. And he was basically Miscavige's enforcer. So when Lisa McPherson died under very questionable circumstances on Scientology property in Clearwater in the late 90s, Marty Rathbun went and took the church records of what had been done to her and destroyed the most crucial aspects of it. He years later admitted to that after he came out of Scientology. It was not known at the time that that had happened.
Is he an activist now against the church?
Unfortunately, he's waffled. And that's the most kind thing I can say about him.
Okay.
Hey, Seth, let me answer your question, because the way you posed it, you made it sound like that the church might have to turn over some records and maybe they won't turn over everything. I wasn't referring to that. I'm talking about documents that are already in the prosecution's hands.
I see.
And the reason I know about them is because the Hollywood Reporter wrote about them. Jane Doe number one's mother is the source of some of these documents, letters to David Miscavige, letters and showing how much the church was aware of what was going on and quoting actual interrogation reports. All that's already in their possession. And that's why I'm saying that none of that came out in the preliminary hearing because it was limited, but all of that will come out in the trial. But then there's another aspect to it. And although there, I know that the prosecution has volumes of great written evidence, one of the things they're missing are people. So, for example, I wrote about this situation that, that when Jane Doe, number one, first came to the church and reported this, she was interrogated by a woman at the Hollywood Celebrity Center who's particularly known for this. Her name was Angie LeClaire. Angie LeClaire interrogated Jane Doe, number one, and Angie LeClaire interrogated Danny Masterson. So this is somebody the Los Angeles Police Department would very much like to talk to, is Angie LeClaire, the Scientology auditor who interrogated both the accused and his alleged victim days after this incident occurred. But guess what? Nobody can find her.
Right.
Hold. No one can find her?
She has disappeared. Scientology has disappeared their own employee. So this is one of the intriguing little mysteries in this case. Yeah. Where she was the most prominent auditor at the Hollywood Celebrity Center. Everybody knew her.
Mm-hmm. I remember her name.
Where is she?
Her quite well.
Where is she?
Sounds very Shelley Miscavige, right?
It is very Shelley Miscavige. I you know, we think that Shelley's being held in a mountain compound above Los Angeles. I have a guess that Angie's being held on the ship in the Caribbean, away from American authorities.
That's crazy. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. I'll also throw out my conjecture that she could be in Australia as well.
Yep.
She could have been sent to another country. I know for a fact, I watched it happen, that people were sent to Australia to be disappeared.
Yep.
Like for it. No, not like.
Well, let me give you a, let me not give like you a great the mob example, disappeared. Seth. Let me give you a great example. Oh, okay. At one point in the 90s, when Scientology was trying to get its tax-exempt status, there was one woman they were worried that might throw a wrench into that process. Her name was Terry Gamboa, and she was a signatory on one of the entities that was trying to get tax-exempt status. And they knew that if she got blabby with the IRS, it could squelch the whole deal. But they also knew that she loved horses. So they spent millions of dollars creating a horse ranch in Australia and told her that, hey, we decided we're going to put you in charge of that, and sent her to Australia to her dream job so she would forget all about the United States and tax exemption and would not even care about what was going on back in the U.S. This is how completely they wanted her to disappear.
I'm interested in the efforts again. I was like, David Miscavige's father, right? He escapes Scientology and he writes a book. And I was like, well, how bad have they come after you? And he was talking about how the Church of Scientology essentially took every variation of his name to secure web domains so that anybody who might search for him would probably first stumble upon, you know, these websites run by the Church of Scientology that discredit him and talk about how wacky and out of control and how wrong he is. And it's, I mean, that's just amazing. Let's talk about Danny Masterson himself.
Yeah.
Is he on record as to his response to the allegations? Has he invoked Scientology? I mean, where's he at?
Well, he denies that he raped these women, and he made an unfortunate statement, I think, early on, because they also sued him. These women are also suing him and the church for what they claim is harassment since they've come forward. And he said in a public statement, he looked forward to getting his ex-girlfriend into court and beating her. Yeah, it was not the greatest choice of words.
Well, let's not forget when the intro that we missed one of his many titles and callings, which was DJ Donkey Punch.
Yeah, I'm sorry, am I showing my age? What is DJ Donkey Punch?
Tony?
I'm letting you handle that one, Chris. Okay.
So this was a DJ title that he had. He's known as this. And a donkey punch is a, as I understand it, is something that you do during sex where you hit the woman, it's from behind, and you hit her at the base of the skull at the point of orgasm and knock her out as a result.
Jesus.
And it's a violent act. It's abuse. It's not a sexual act. It's
and one thing I pointed out was that he called himself that until 2004, which is what? When he had to sign that agreement with the woman that was accusing him. And then he became DJ Mom Jeans, something a lot less,
provocative,
inflammatory.
Well, you know, yeah. Agreements within the Church of Scientology, I think both of you have spoken to, don't you sign like a multi-million year contract with the church?
Something like that? No, not on this one. That's the C organization.
Oh, the C org.
Yeah, that's a different
what's that
thing.
Term? How long is that contract?
It's a billion years.
A billion years. Leah Remini, in her show Aftermath a couple of years ago, focused on these Danny Masterson rape allegations. Apparently that show was delayed, but ultimately did air, right? I mean, it did go to air?
She initially planned a episode with these women. The DA actually asked her not to do it because I didn't want it to mess up the prosecution and their investigation at that point. So she delayed that, but then ultimately she made it the series finale. It was the last episode that they showed for the series, and it won the show's second Emmy.
That's right.
Can you tell me about these text messages? I was reading in the Daily Beast about these harassments by people who were texting each other as to strategy. Am I understanding that right? Either one of you.
Right. Well, 3 years ago, Leah came to me and said that she was being stalked while she was filming Second Act with her friend Jennifer Lopez in Manhattan. And we actually managed to identify the retired New York Police Department detective who was trailing her, this guy named Mike Green. And I confronted him at that point, and he claimed he didn't even know who Leah Remini was. And I wrote about that 3 years ago, but I did not name him at that time. Well, now, just the other day, Mike Green's text from his iPhone became part of the court record in this bizarre, unrelated lawsuit that clearly show him with some other private investigators stalking Leah Remini and Jennifer Lopez as they were filming that show. So in the Daily Beast piece, I explained this. There's a strange lawsuit that is completely unrelated that they managed to get his text for. But it shows this following. And one of the private investigators with Mike Green that was following them has filed an affidavit saying that, yeah, the client was the Church of Scientology. But the investigations firm itself, the man that owns it, Dan Ribicoff, denied that and told me that Church of Scientology was not the client 100%. But as Chris can tell you, the Church of Scientology never hires private investigators. Their attorneys do. So this guy can say that the Church of Scientology didn't hire him, but it's very clear who they were working for.
Plausible deniability.
Exactly.
Chris, you want to jump in?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a long-term operating basis of the Church of Scientology. They have an entire division of their organization called the Office of Special Affairs, previously called the Guardian's Office. This has been in existence for decades. Its sole purpose is to stalk, harass, and target church critics and ruin them utterly. And that phrase, ruin them utterly, is an L. Ron Hubbard quote from a 1955 reference, I believe. So these guys are not a turn the other cheek, live and let live kind of group. L. Ron Hubbard was an incredibly vindictive man, and he wrote that vindictiveness into the DNA of the church. So every church follower emulates Hubbard's vindictiveness. And I can speak from personal experience. It changes you. You start looking at everybody who's not a Scientologist as the enemy. And this is how they operate. So they hire these private investigators, they hire these attorneys to go after their quote unquote enemies. And their enemies are people who really just want to stop doing Scientology. They're not criminals, they're not bad people. But when criminal activity comes up and the church is involved in covering it up, the church's machinery goes into play to protect the church and destroy its enemies. And we see this kind of stalking and harassment and other nonsensical behavior.
I have to think that for the four women who've come forward, there must be so many others who have not. And they're watching from the wings, right? They're waiting to see what's going to happen in the months, maybe even the years ahead. Is that your perception?
I'm aware of seven women that talked to the LAPD about Danny Masterson. And they've charged on three, but I had known about seven that spoke to the police. And four are suing him. One, the most alarming thing in these new texts about Leah was when the one private investigator was telling the other one about what their assignment was, and he explained that it was Leah, and the other guy realized, oh, she had left Scientology. Mike Green says to him, yeah, word is they want to kill her. And that's in a text from one private investigator to another who were following her for Scientology. So it's pretty grim, and Leah's not happy about it. We've got some choice quotes from her in that Daily Beast piece, if you take a look at it.
When you were first telling that story, did I hear police and PI or just PI? I want to make sure.
Well, they're former cops. All these guys are retired cops. They're in their 40s and 50s.
Okay.
And Green was a retired NYPD detective. Saul Roth was a retired Nassau County cop. And, they're making $50 an hour tailing these people around late at night.
Chris Shelton, Tony Ortega, anything else you think we need to know about Danny Masterson, the case, the church, anything else?
I would like to just say, just to leap onto that last point, not only are there sexual assault cases in the wings, but there are other kinds of criminal activity that Scientology has been engaged in for years. Credit card fraud, financial nonsense, even enforced bankruptcies, as well as things with kids, and which I don't even necessarily want to get into today.
If I can jump in, are we speaking to like child labor and those types of things?
Well, we're talking actually violations of labor laws and human trafficking in terms of labor and sex. And it's got a very grim and very dark history here. And if this succeeds, I could easily see the floodgate opening up for all of this stuff. And that would be so amazing and so overdue.
Tony Ortega?
The next hearing in Danny Masterson's case is August 9th. And then the trial itself, like I said, is tentatively scheduled for November. May get pushed back a little bit. But we cover every step of the case at TonyOrtega.org. We have a new story up every morning about something in Scientology. So please come on by and join the conversation.
May the floodgates open, right? I mean, just let it all be exposed. I have this fantasy. I'm disappointed. I think you had told me, Tony, that Leah Remini, once she started doing her series and she really saw Scientology exposed, I think she had hoped that there might be more consequences,
If you watch the first series, first season of Scientology and the Aftermath, she actually teases it that by the end of the season, they were going to have some sort of action legally. And I think that she and Mike really thought that they would. I mean, it was a hit show, huge momentum, giant audience. I think they really expected they would get some political backing and some government action. By the third season, they're so disgusted. It's obvious. They're so disgusted that nothing is happening. Mm-hmm. It was kind of sad to see. I was frustrated along with them. It is amazing that Scientology gets away with what it gets away with year after year after year. But a case like Danny Masterson's, especially when it's so involved with Scientology the way it has been, it can make things happen. It can make changes. So that's why I'm keeping such a close eye.
I'll make sure and continue to post about it on my pages. I will link to both of your sites and pages in the description box. Tony Ortega of Underground Bunker and my friend Chris Shelton, ex-Scientologist and activist extraordinaire. Thank you both for an important and critical conversation.
Thank you, Seth.
Thanks, Seth.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. For a complete archive of podcasts and videos, products like mugs and t-shirts featuring the Thinking Atheist logo, links to atheist pages and resources, and details on upcoming free thought events and conventions, log on to our website, thethinkingatheist.com.